Welcome to Decomp Divas with Jana, and I have a very, very fun special guest. Welcome to the show, Dakara.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but you did choose this movie. I feel like this is one of the episodes where I have a guest who actually has like opinions and feelings about the movie, and it's not just a random movie that I forced them to watch. Is that true? Am I right in thinking that?
Yes, you are. First of all, I grew up watching the movie. Like looked forward to the release, like all of the Disney Channel promo for it. Like my sister and I, we had a movie like viewing party with my cousins. Like
this, oh my God. Like,
watched it multiple times. This is my favorite Cheetah Girls movie of all of them.
Really?
Yes, it is. Like this is my favorite one. So
okay, good. This is totally perfect.
So it's not, you didn't just like thrust a movie upon me. Like this, I felt like the movie chose me.
Yeah, it did. It was fate. Wait, so you like this better than the original Cheetah Girls?
I do. Yes, I do.
What do you like better about it? That's interesting. So I'd say like the first one, they're both good. They're different. Yeah. What, how do you feel?
Well, don't get me wrong. I do love the first one, but the second one is just so much more dynamic. The characters are more like developed. Like you enter this world of like, we're developed artists and we're trying to, we're performing, we're getting paid. And like the movie opens up with them performing at a gig.
With like a super enthusiastic crowd that fucking loves them.
Yes. Yeah. And that, well, I remember when they released the music video before the movie came out on Disney Channel, they would always like between shows, they would always
play some music video. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I was like, yo, like I'm so excited for this movie because the song is so hype. I'm just like, I think the main reason why it's my favorite is the soundtrack. The soundtrack is just so much better than the original. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some bangers in the original too, but it's just so much more dynamic. And
I agree.
Like the plot isn't as strong, I think, but the soundtrack is definitely, I prefer that over the original.
Yeah, there's more people, and this is what I noticed today, because I think it's been a while since I watched this, but there's like more people in the movie who have songs. It's not just the Cheetah Girls, which is really cool.
Yeah, and that's cool. They brought in, what's her name?
Marisol. What's her? I feel like her real name is, I kept writing Belinda. Okay, I was right about that. I was like, why do I think that's her name? Okay.
A up-and-coming artist in Spain who is trying to cross into the American audience.
Okay.
And so they brought her in for this movie. She was trying to cross into English, singing English and stuff like that. And she worked hard on her act, like on her English accent, which is why her enunciation is a little like exaggerated in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, it's not because of like her accent was bad. I mean, she speaks Spanish, but her acting was a little, reactions were not that of a, I could tell she's like new to acting. Yeah.
Yes, I think that was because she was like working so hard on her accent, her English accent, that the acting didn't really come through. But that was her attempt to cross over to the Western like side of the music industry, because she was really bigger on like the Spanish side of things.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I don't think she was horrible, and like, but she definitely was much more compelling when she was singing and performing than when she was like talking and like getting mad at her mom.
Yeah, I'm like, oh girl, like you're just not good. You're not good at all. And I didn't like her English singing songs, like the Why Wait. I didn't.
You don't like that song?
I like that song, but I don't like her enunciation. It's just annoying.
Oh, there's a part where she's like, "Make sure we perfect." Yeah. Yes. I guess we'll start off, rewind. Dakara, how did we meet?
Well, I mean, we met through Ashley.
We did. Yes. Ashley, she has been on 3 episodes of this podcast. You guys know who she is.
So we met through her.
We met through her.
And I think it was the first time we met was at, I was going to a disco and I invited Ashley and she's like, oh, can my friend Jana come? I was like, great, cool. And you came and I was like, oh my God, she's so cute. Like she's so beautiful. And I literally was like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. And we went to the disco and that was my first like exposure. Like I saw pictures of you because Ashley would tell me about you. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to the disco and we all danced on stage, we got called up on stage.
That was so fun. Oh my God. Yes.
Up there longer than anyone else. because like
They were like, we can't take these girls off the stage. They got the moves. I
yeah.
remember you were, because it was at House of Blues in San Diego. It's this very fun thing. You guys all know what House Blues is, but they like let you on stage to dance, and like you kept like going to the very front and dancing. And I was like, oh my God, she's so brave.
Well, yeah, because it's my moment, you know. I
Yeah.
love it. Oh, you know, it's time. Yeah, but that's
Yeah. And then we did not do a show together. I costumed a show you were in called
yes.
Company. If anyone's listening and they don't know what that is, the song I'm Not Getting Married is probably the most popular song from that show. So look that up and you'll know
Or
what it
being
is.
alive after like
Oh, being
the.
alive, yeah. But yeah, so that is how we met. And you're also a 90s kid. You're also a 94 baby, right? So
Yes.
we probably have similar references, but I also, and from what you've said, I assume you are a big Disney Channel watcher.
Yes, I was a Disney Channel kid as well as a Nickelodeon kid as
Okay.
well as a Network kid. I
Oh, you're a
did
Cartoon Network kid, really?
Cartoon Network. It was Kids Next Door, Teenage Mutant, or no, Teen Titans,
Oh, nice.
Kids Next Door, Teen Titans, and then Justice League. And then on Disney Channel, it was always Proud Family, Raven, like That's So Raven. Those are like my main shows that I watched. Even Stevens, that was really good. And then on Nickelodeon, it was always like Nesty Classified,
Yes.
SpongeBob, you know, those things. But I was all over the place. I did not discriminate.
Okay, so you liked animated and live action. You
I
liked
did,
it.
yeah.
Okay, cool. So I guess going on to the movie, The Cheetah Girls 2, what did, do you remember like when you first heard of The Cheetah Girls and like when you did it mean like something to you, or did you have to like go and watch the movies to like realize how iconic it is, was, will always be?
I think when I first saw the promotions for Cheetah Girls, like just even like the first movie, my sister and I were really excited because we were just aching for people that looked like us. And there's three girls on screen that look like my sister and I.
Yeah.
Raven looks like, we loved Raven Simone because of That's a Raven. We loved her and we watched her on the Bill Cosby show. And like we saw her grow into this amazing physical comedian on That's So Raven, and seeing her in this movie, we're like, oh, we have to see this. But then we also saw Adrian Bylone, and then I'm forgetting her name, who plays
Oh,
off.
Keeley Williams.
Yes, and they also look like us, like my sister and I, were like
Yeah.
these like light skinned, racially ambiguous girls that don't often see people that look like them on screen, at least at the time. And we were just so excited to see that. Any type of representation, we were just like aching for that. So I remember just being really excited.
Yeah, it is really cool that, like, Disney Channel, I find, because I watch a lot of these movies and they do a lot of the like, okay, maybe the main character is like black or Asian, but everyone else in the movie is white, so that you people feel like comfortable or like you relate to someone. And like, as a white person myself, I don't need to like look like the characters to relate to them because I already have so much representation. And like, I guess like I learn more and more that a lot of people don't feel that way, but I like, I'm so. I could be wrong, but like maybe this is the first movie where they felt like they could have a diverse cast. I mean, I guess Dorinda is white, and in the books, that character is not white. So I do feel like they probably were like, we need to throw a white girl in here, which is disappointing, but this was 2006. Well, and I guess the first one, 2004. So that's, yeah. But, and I like that they talk about more so in the first movie. I actually don't really think they touch on it that much because they didn't really have time, maybe, but they like actually talk about race. It's not just like this thing that's like unsaid.
They do, yeah, they talk about, and I think with Dorinda and like being in the foster care system and stuff like that, and touching on like how her foster mom is black but she isn't, whatever, they like just kind of discuss that. And then also with Chanel being like of Hispanic descent and like her dad not being in the picture, and like they really do touch on like these really complex topics on race and culture
Yeah.
the first movie that they don't really address in the second one. But I just think the fact that like seeing women that look like ethnic and that are from a different background, it was really cool seeing that at that time as a little girl. Regardless of whether it was discussed in the movie or not, it was just still cool to see that. And they were like very successful. They were a very successful group for a very long time. And so it was just really cool to see that. And I also kind of somewhat knew Keeley and Adrian
From
from
3LW,
Three. Yeah. So it was also cool to see them a little bit, like get some recognition in that regard too.
yeah, it is really cool, and like I feel like they don't, not as much in this movie, but like they do have chemistry that like you can like read.
Keeley was a little pot stirrer, as all I know from all the drama.
Did like trying to create drama within the four of them, or like. Let's talk about like 20-year-old drama. We love
Suggest
it.
that you do some research
Yeah.
on the drama between like with just Keeley Williams and Raven Symone and just that whole dynamic, why Raven left this franchise, and why none of them associate with Keeley anymore. It's very fascinating. It's hilarious. It's a lot, but we won't
Yes.
do that
That
today.
I could do a whole episode on. Okay, I hate being like on like D-list celebrities or like washed up celebrities because like, hey, I never made it. I'm more washed up than them, but like at least they had their moment. But at the same time, it's like really fascinating to see people who are like, it is a little sad to be like, you started here and now you're here.
Yeah.
Especially because I feel like, I mean, some of them do want to get out of the limelight, but a lot of them don't, and that's just kind of what happened. We will get into like the plot of the movie eventually, but I like noticed when they were singing, even in the first number and throughout, you could always hear Raven's voice so much louder than anybody else's.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like she's just singing like by herself, and then there's people in the background going like, "Bada," which like, I mean, I guess she is kind of the Beyoncé of the group. Like she does like,
Of the group, which
yeah.
I think Chanel or like Adrian was technically like the co-lead, I think, because she had a
Yeah.
lot of like the other lead vocals. I think Adrian and Raven were the stronger vocalists, and then
Yes.
the like I don't know the Dorinda's real name.
Sabrina Bryan.
Oh, Sabrina,
Yes, Sabrina.
and Keeley were still good vocalists, just not as strong as Raven.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why, because I feel like Adrian's vocals were mixed pretty loud as well.
Yeah. Because I was like listening to Aqua sing, and I was like, I mean, it's hard to compare her to like Raven and Adrian because they have such like really strong, like belty voices, but like her voice isn't bad, it's just kind of softer.
Yeah, well, in
Yeah.
more of the hype man in 3LW.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she did more of like the she does the rapping
Oh,
portion.
she did. I did not know that.
So like she was more of like the hype man, and like didn't lead the vocals. Adrian was the lead basically, and then same thing kind of happened when Raven left, is Adrian kind of became the lead, I think, vocally. Sabrina and Keeley kind of were more of like background vocals.
Yeah, which I guess, I mean, maybe it does kind of have to be that way. Like somebody's got to lead, someone's kind of got to be in the
Yeah.
background. I do, and I talked about that. So I had a different episode of the podcast where I talked about Cheetah Girls One, and I like said on there that I think like I don't think like Sabrina Bryan, like Dorinda, is like terrible singer, but it's like pretty clear that's not her strength. I feel like that's why they lean so much into the dance. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I can agree on
Yeah.
that. I can agree.
Yes, and it's not horrible. It's just like you can tell by how little they let her sing on her own.
Yes. Yeah, she hardly has any solos. It's very rare when she does, and then some of her, yeah, it makes sense.
And it's very like in Strut, she says something like "Move by the rhythm, the gypsies play." Like she talks, it's very talks. Like it's not, I don't know. But she is a better dancer than I will ever be in my life. So I'm not shitting on her. I'm just saying it's just kind of a fact. And I don't think she would deny this. I'm sorry, Sabrina. You're still very talented. I'm not saying you're not. Okay, so we will get into the movie, but first I gotta ask. The Cheetah Girls 2 was released on August 25th, 2006. What do you think you were doing that day if you had to take a wild guess?
Released on 2006.
August. Yeah, August 25th, 2006, summer of 2006.
Oh, we probably just out of school. I was, like I said, we would throw release parties for these things. So, likely, my cousins came over. My mom made brownies
Oh.
and like homemade spaghetti. We made like what we call a cozy bed. And so we gather all the blankets in the entire house, put them on the ground, and create this huge, massive, like, cozy bed on the floor. And we would turn on the TV, would turn down the lights, and we would like eat popcorn, like, eat spaghetti, eat popcorn and brownies, and like watch the movie. And so, most likely, that's probably what we were doing because the Cheetah Girls 2 movie, we were very hyped for that.
Yes.
Most likely, we were doing a viewing party.
So watching it live, counting down the whole day.
It live, the countdown and everything.
Yes. So fun. So this, I think, like, okay, in the summertime for Disney Channel movies, they would release like one every month instead of like one every other month like they normally do. So this was like the last one. So I remember them like promoting at the beginning of the summer, and I was like, there's gonna be a sequel. I'm so excited. So it did live up to my expectations. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into the Cheetah Girls 2. So, beginning of the movie, what was your impressions? They're singing "The Party's Just Begun" right into it.
Well, we had already seen so much of that scene because they were doing the
Yes.
promo for prior to the movie releasing. But
Yes.
like we were like, oh, we were just so excited. It's like it's like that song is so good.
It
And
is,
my
truly.
questions, I mean, I was just excited. I was hyped, very excited, singing along with the song because they were promoing it for like months on end before it came out. So I kind of
Yeah.
already like the lyrics kind of already knew how it went. That a cappella part,
Ah, yes.
I'm like, that there's some Jesus in that one. I was like,
There
oh
is.
my goodness, it's so good.
It is. It
Oh,
is
I love it.
chilling out. Break it down. That's the way we do it now. Attitude in the groove.
I'm just like,
Getting in the
yo,
zone.
like that's it. Like, who did this? You did not have to go that hard. I just remember
Yes.
when that part was coming on, we were like, what? Like we were just freaking out. So
Yeah.
good. So good.
It's crazy because I'm like, the choreography in this movie is amazing. So is the singing. It's just so much better than any of these other Disney Channel movies, like performance-wise. It is just next caliber. Like, it's
Yeah.
almost like I mean, they probably had a bigger budget, but it's just like the charisma, the commitment is like so
Yes.
much harder.
Performance, the stage presence, they were all, but you also have to think like Adrian and Keeley were traveling, touring, like artists already prior to this movie. So they already had a stage presence. Raven has been a performer, actress since she was a little child, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like they were already at a caliber above so many of these Disney Channel stars nowadays. Like,
Yes.
nothing. Like, obviously, there's a lot of people that have like developed into great stars, Olivia Rodrigo, Sabrina, whatever her name is, Sabrina
Sabrina
Carpenter.
Carpenter, yes.
You know, like they all started off of like as like, you know, but whatever. But they like came into the Disney Channel franchise and completely just ran it. So it totally makes sense that they had this amazing choreography, amazing song production. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. They just really had it. And Raven, I just like, I'm said this a million times. I'm so impressed. Like, she could take the shittiest writing and make it hilarious. She's so good at that.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Like, that's why I think, like, that's so Raven. Like, do I think, like, the last few seasons were, like, the best thing I've ever seen? No. But I continued watching it because she's just so good. Yeah.
She's so funny. She's so talented. I loved her and I've loved her in everything she's done.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me not to support her.
Yes, yeah. And okay, one. Do you remember when she like had her own album?
I do. When she released a song when she was in a movie. I think it was a movie with Ice Cube.
A Raven and Ice Cube were in a movie together?
I think so. She released
College
a,
Road Trip. Wait, Ice Cube's
yes,
in that?
college.
Oh.
Is he? I can't remember. I just know that it was like she was in a movie and she released a song to promote that and it was going off on Disney Channel a lot. I don't think her solo career really did very well. The song, I think the songs that she was given, they weren't that great. I think she has a more like soulful, oldies type voice. And I think whoever her management, like, were trying to force her into, like, the poppy, like, whatever was popular during that time. But I think her voice is definitely more soulful and more, like, requires some, like good writing, you know?
Yes, yeah. I know, no, you're totally right. And I've never thought about it in that way before. But yeah, they just wanted her to be like every other Disney star who, like, went into a pop career. And that's not.
But she's, like, not.
No, and I almost am like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, and I love Disney Channel, like, obviously, but I'm like, she was too good for them.
She was,
like,
way too, that she knew that, which is why I think she eventually walked away, because she you know, walked away from Disney Channel after a while. Now she's back, but, you know, after a time of growing up and being a person outside of Disney Channel. But I do think she was a lot, she was too good for it, I think.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, I mean, I wonder this a lot for people who work on Disney Channel for years and years and years and years, like, from teenhood to, like, into their 20s, like, how, like, you must get really tired of having to be, like, you feel you can't even say bad words, like, in interviews or in public. Like, that would be really that'd be really hard to do.
I know, and they're very strict. They seem very strict on, like, how you need to present yourself and things like that if you're still connected to this Disney franchise. Even people that work at the Disney parks, like, you can't, they're so strict on even how you behave with that and, like, your social media and things like that. So I can't imagine, like, being representing the franchise in a way that she did.
It would be tough. And also, she, like, always has been, like, an outspoken person. So I'm like, that would be kind of difficult, but I don't know. I feel like she hasn't, like, spoken out a ton about that, so it's probably because she's still employed by them. So what can she really say? Like, yeah. What was I gonna say? Did you have aspirations of working at Disneyland growing up?
Yes and no. My Auntie Taria, she played, or she toured as Pocahontas, and seeing her do that, and, like, we still have, like, this really beautiful picture of her as Pocahontas on stage in, like, London, and, like, seeing that growing up, like, yes, obviously you have aspirations to do that, but, like, there just weren't Disney princesses that looked like me.
Yeah.
So I never felt that I could. So I didn't really have, like, fully realized dreams of being part of Disney because they just didn't have the representation at the time.
Yeah, I know, it took forever for them too. And, like, yeah. Why haven't they, like, why has there only, like, been one Black princess? Like, why have they, like, held off on that?
No, I don't understand. I mean, like, with, what's her name in Wish? She's still, like, she's Afro-Latina, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And then with Encanto, they had some Afro-Latina people, but, like, that's not, like, they still have not really touched on, like, Black culture and, like, what that looks like in a royalty sense, outside of, like, Wakanda, you know, like,
yes.
Outside, I think they would be really cool to touch on that and, like, some of the cultural practices behind that and, like, just Black culture in general, because we have such a, like, amazing culture. I think Black people create culture, and we've, like, formulated so much of what we know as, like, cool and, like, fun and music and art, and we've created so many amazing things, and I just think some of that is lost in the storytelling with Disney, and I think it would be really cool to dive more into that instead of, like, turning us into an animal for half the movie.
Yeah, it's such bullshit. Yeah.
Even with Soul, he was, like, a blob, you know?
Oh, he is? Is that, like, he, like, turns
the into blob for the movie? He's not even, like, a full Black man. Like, he's a blob. I thought that movie was beautiful. I cried. It, like, just about jazz and musicianship, and my dad is an amazing pianist, and, like, connecting to that degree and, like, his art. I bawled my eyes out, but I'm like, but still, this man was a blob. Like, he still was not a Black man. Like,
yeah.
I would like to have a story where the Black person isn't turned into a creature for most of the movie.
That's an extremely weird trope that they've repeated in two, like, major films. Like,
it's
what?
It's so odd. It's so odd.
Yeah.
Only time, I think that's why a lot of the Black community connects so much to the Black Panther, because it's, like, for the first time we're being represented fully as, like, a person, I guess, and the person is fully realized and the character is fully developed and things like that. And I think that's why we hold on to characters like that, or even movies with, like Get Out or Us and things like that. Like, the characters are fully realized people, and we're not just creatures throughout the entire film, which is it. It's like, finally, you know?
Yes. Like, you have like people who are like well-rounded and have unique non-stereotype characteristics that like, yeah, I don't know. Disney needs to, I don't understand. I will never understand their thinking and how, I don't know. But Cheetah Girls, a movie that does like a pretty good job at like representation, I think. And in a way that like everyone has a very unique personality. And in this movie kind of creates tension.
Yeah.
But we will get to that. How did you feel about, so there's a million plot points to this movie. I don't know if we'll be able to get to every single thing, because I could talk for 4 hours and like maybe not even get to it. But yeah, what did you think of the premise of this going into Barcelona?
I definitely, like, I think even when I was a kid, I was like, this is so unrealistic, but I'm just going to go along.
<laughs> You know? Even when you were like 10 and 11 years old, you were like, this would never happen.
Inky little hometown group is gonna be invited to Barcelona, but like, whatever, it's still fun. Like, we just went along with it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Disney, like, it's fantasy.
Yes. It's so, the reason why they're there, Chanel's mom, her mom's going away for the summer, and so she has to go, and they all want to stay together, so they all end up going to Barcelona for a music festival that they get into. And I think, I mean, okay, so like, kind of like Liz McGuire movie. Set on location movie, like, kind of has nothing to do with the like rest of the story, but they're like, hey, let's go to Europe, let's go to a beautiful city and make that the backdrop. But yeah, how did you like, I guess, the way that they melded like the Spanish culture and the city into the storyline?
I thought like one of my favorite like scenes from that movie is definitely like the song where like the strut that can mean it free your mind, because you see them kind of go through the entire city, and it starts off with like the Spanish guitar, and like I think it was a cool way to kind of meld the cultures a little bit. I felt like there's a lot of behind the scenes things that they would show throughout the promo of like the making of the movie and stuff, and like how they did it. They tried to meld even the costuming, like the Matador costuming in the final, like that. Like, I felt like they really tried to meld the culture to honor it, but also to have a little twist to it. So I really liked that they did that. I liked how Chanel, the character Chanel, was starting to come into her own as far as like her ethnic identity and like connecting with, what's her name in the movie?
Marisol,
and like connecting with speaking Spanish and like connecting to like the lullaby that her mom would sing. Oh. That's one of my favorite scenes, is like in that kind of like cabaret setting where they sing the lullaby. I would sing that song all the time. I love that song. It's so pretty. I think they did a cool job about that. Some of it is a little cringy, but that's just because of the zeitgeist of the time, you know,
yes. Like
how the time was. But like, mostly I feel like they really did a cool job in trying to meld things, and like with the fashion and the music, and I really feel like they tried to meld the two worlds together.
Yeah, they did it. Yeah, it was really interesting because they had another character who was, Galleria's love interest loosely. I don't even think they kissed. I don't know, maybe like he was just there playing the guitar. What do you think?
Address, I think all of the love interests in the second movie are so forced.
Yeah.
I feel everyone is gay. Everyone is gay.
You know what? I think you might be right.
Like, Gabriella is gay. She's not physically attracted to that man. She is not. There's no sexual tension whatsoever. Dorinda and the dancer dude, he's definitely gay. Like,
He's not
her sexually. Like, there's just no chemistry between, and everyone's gay. Everyone's gay. And I just, it was so forced. I was just like, why are they doing this? We don't need a love interest. It's not necessary.
That's the thing, is they felt like they had to have it for two of the girls, or at least like alluded to. I guess for Dorinda, they kiss, so it would be. But yeah, it's, you don't need, I don't need that. And that also is like, if I'm like young, I don't have to be told like, you always need to have a boy.
Yeah, we didn't need it. And it was just so unnatural. And they just also didn't fit. Like, even like how they, if you put those people together, I would never see them dating.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, I would never put those people together personally.
Yeah.
So it just didn't feel, it just felt forced. It didn't feel natural. I was like, why are they doing this? I'll just, whatever. Like,
it was especially, so, like, the guy that, like, Dorinda's kind of, like, dating is, like,
yeah.
The only thing they have in common, he's, like, obviously he's Spanish, and he, like, is, like, works for Chanel's mom's boyfriend, and they both dance. That's the thing they have in common. He's, like, come to my studio and teach everyone how to hip-hop dance, which they are immediately amazing.
I know, that scene was also a banger, and then, I don't know if you knew this, but Drew Seeley and...
Yes.
And Belinda are singing that song.
Yeah, I love that song. Okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So Drew Seeley's always, he's always coming in clutch.
I feel like Drew Seeley is always a bridesmaid, never a bride. I feel really bad for him. He's so talented, but people never want to put him up front.
He did that movie with Selena Gomez.
True. Another Cinderella story, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that beautiful, beautiful music in this. Like, yeah. So basically the drama in this movie comes from all the girls kind of like going their own way and pursuing their own interests. And Galleria, as we know from the first movie, gets kind of controlling about it. What did you think from like her perspective, like her kind of character development and frustration with the other girls?
I think at the time I was annoyed with everyone else at the fact that they came all this way for this competition.
Yes.
And all are getting distracted. Like, yes. We have a competition. We need to rehearse. Like, what are you doing? And so I, at first, when I was younger, I was like, oh my God, gallery is being so annoying, whatever. But then like, as I started maturing a little bit, I aligned with Galleria a little bit, how it was annoying that they just were not taking it seriously at all. I did think that her song when she was annoying was a little like
it's so and I feel so
alone. This is a sadness. Like, okay, it's not that serious, like,
yes. I they really make a dramatic thing about her wanting to leave. It's actually not that big of a deal. I guess it is kind of like you're cutting your trip short, but it's not like a life or death matter. But it, like, in these movies it is. Yes. Yes. I forgot to ask this, but maybe these are two different answers, I don't know. Who is your favorite Cheetah girl, and who do you relate to the most? And who did you say? Because this morning you texted me and you said, or yesterday, I don't know, your boyfriend has the same favorite as you. And he watched Cheetah Girls, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, because I'm just going to tell the story on the podcast.
Yes.
last night I was like, oh, I'm on this podcast with Jana and we're talking about like Disney Channel movies and blah, blah, blah. And the whole premise is like talking about that. And he's like, oh, like what movie are you talking about? I was like, oh, Cheetah Girls 2. And he's like, is that the one where they go to Spain?
Oh my God.
I was like, yes. Like, how did you know that? And he just was like, well, I watched a lot of Disney Channel growing up. Okay. I was like, what else happened? He's like, weren't they like going there for like a competition? And blah, blah. I was like, stop it. Like, you do not know the whole movie. And he was like, I remember like they were walking through the city of Barcelona through that one song and blah, blah, blah. He like really remembered.
Oh everything. My God. He remembers the little details too.
But he remembered all of that. And then I was like, okay, who's your favorite Cheetah girl? He's like, oh, well, I like can't remember what they look like. I was like, bullshit. But I pull up the pictures. He's like, oh yeah, she was the cutest. Tell me why it was my favorite Cheetah girl. Chanel.
That's my favorite too. Oh my God. That was his favorite.
For a while, like when the first Cheetah Girls came out, I called my mother Ma the entire time just because she did. My mother hated it.
She does not like being called Ma.
I was like, I remember that time you would only call me Ma because Chanel called her Ma in like the movie and like whatever. Anyway, we both have the same favorite Cheetah Girl, and I thought that was hilarious.
That is so fun.
You knew the whole concept. He's like, I didn't watch the third one, though. I was like, we don't acknowledge the third one.
Okay, I was going to say, I hate to admit, I've never watched the third one. I was too, at the time, and I'm not saying other people aren't, I was too far removed, and I was a little older at that point.
Yeah, I still watch just for the plot, you know, just just honoring Cheetah Girls. It gave me a lot. I still watched it. I like the idea of going to India and stuff like that.
But cool.
It didn't feel the same without Raven.
What do they say? Like, they're like, oh, she couldn't come.
They said that she went to college.
That is kind of crazy. I mean, you can't, like, expect. Like, I feel like in a lot of major shows, like, somebody leaves the cast. Like, when Liz McGuire was Miranda, and that's the Raven. The mom left. And you just kind of have to find an awkward excuse as to why they aren't there. I mean,
that happened with sitcoms. Like, I remember when Fresh Prince, the mom got replaced. I don't know why she was replaced. But it was just, like, randomly. And everyone was just, like, to expect that or just carry on as if nothing happens. Like, that is not Aunt Viv. That is not the Aunt Viv that did that whole ballet. That is not the same Aunt Viv. Like, what is going on?
But they, took a new person and pretended it was the same person.
Completely different person. And she was a light-skinned woman, too.
Like, so it was not.
Skinned woman.
Yeah.
Black woman. A queen. And they replaced her with another queen. But, you know, they just expected us not to notice. So, it happens all the time. And, like, I think that kind of setting. So, they just, like, oh, she went to college, or oh, she went on vacation. They just, like, make up a random excuse.
Yeah. So I guess we'll kind of talk about the, like, side plot. Not really. So the competition they're entering, but, like, things start to, like, thicken when they meet this girl named Marisol, who's, like, kind of like a local celebrity who, like, performs, and everyone fucking loves her. What did you think of her when she busts on the scene with those half shorts, half pants? Did you not like those? What did you think? Those are so, it's such a statement.
My sister and I were like, ew! Like, we just did not like it. We're like, ew. Also, we're like, who is this? Like, who cares?
Yeah, like, as an American, it's hard to be like, okay.
And the fact that she was like, why? Wait! I think we were like, no, this is not it. Boo! Like, we were not impressed. I liked her better when she was singing the lullaby.
Yes.
So, but I think she sounded better singing the lullaby. So, like, she reproduced a Britney Spears-esque, like, whiny.
It's very Britney Spears, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for her American voice, and then when she's singing in her native tongue, I think she sounds a lot better. So I, like, kind of wish that she stuck to that, but I get why she had to do that for, like, the movie.
I mean, she's the really beautiful voice, but yeah, it's just, you can tell when she's speaking English, she's like, the wheels are really turning, and it kind of takes me out.
It does, which I, like, that would be the same for me if I'm singing a language that's not my first language, and you're just not as vocally, you're literally singing something out of your comfort zone.
It was an awkward role for her.
Yes. I think the mother also played, like, the mother was annoying. I remember not liking the mom.
Like, immediately, did you know this is the bad guy?
I just didn't like her in general. She seemed very helicopter mom. I was like, ew, I don't like her. Like, even without even thinking about, like, oh, that's going to be the bad guy. Like, it was more just like, ew, I don't like her.
It was just weird because she's like the stage mom, and she, like, goes up to the Cheetah Girls. She's like, the Cheetah Girls, oh my God, I've heard of you guys. You're entering the competition. It's really tough, isn't it? Tough. My daughter's done it 3 times and she hasn't won. So, like, good luck, like, very backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
But she was insistent on meeting Galleria's mom, which is very weird.
It was.
It does, like, raise questions kind of, like, immediately. Like, I'm kind of surprised that, like, they, like, kind of bought into it.
Yeah. It's also just, like, kind of it's a movie, you know? Yeah. So they have to be kind of dumb. I thought the Aqua side plot with, like, the fashion.
Yes.
I thought that kind of came out of nowhere because they didn't really, that was not even, like, the case in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where did this come from? Like, her interest in fashion and stuff like that. Like, she was more very hot sauce in my purse. Like, that was her personality.
Yes.
And they're like, she's a fashion designer? Like, what? So I thought that was a little random.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, okay, like, I guess.
I feel like maybe this isn't the case in the third one, but I would assume it is. She kind of always gets shortchanged. Like, it seems like she's very much the fourth priority when it comes to Cheetah Girls. Like, because, like, they were like, she needs to have something else to her personality. She likes clothes, which is weird because in the beginning of the movie, she's talking about her biology class and, like, talking about how she likes it, and I was like, oh, she's like a nerd. And then I was like, oh wait, yeah, yeah, she has like,
and then the third movie they like flush that out a little bit, and then she like has a love interest who he's like an IT guy,
oh my god,
like, that like answers the phones when you're calling.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah, like that's him.
Oh my god, oh that's cute.
Chris and they're like nerdy or whatever. I was like, oh, so they made her a lot more nerdy in the third movie, which is a little strange too, because like that wasn't her personality. She was hood in the first movie, absolutely. Yeah. She was about to fight
Galleria, right? They were like getting in a lot of fights. Yeah,
face. I was like, oh, she's hood. And I was like, that wasn't acting.
Yeah, I felt she, okay, so basically like, so Galleria's mom, I think they go into this in the first movie, is like a fashion designer, and she like has connections in Barcelona, and she's like bringing Aqua along with her, and Aqua ends up making the costumes at the end of the movie that were cute, and we will talk a lot about the fashion, but like I felt like the costumes were like varying degrees of Matador inspiration. Like Raven's was so much, and Dorinda's was like barely. It was like a sliding scale.
Yeah, the sorry. So like, there's scenes in that entire movie that Kalani and I, my sister Kalani, we would just rewind and like laugh at, because we just thought it was so weird. Like the scene where she has like, what is it? She has a fucking hat.
Oh my god, I noticed that she has like a visor on. That's exactly what it looks like, yes.
This is horrendous.
Like, I was like, is this supposed to be so like ugly, inspired by something?
I just remember thinking that was so ugly. That scene specifically for the final scene, and she walks out and she's like, you're like, no, like this is not eating. It's not. No. I did not. But other than that, like, yeah, it was just definitely like Matador inspired, I think.
Yes. It's funny because that hat, like, I kept looking during the dance numbers, and there were times when I'm like, I feel like that hat's falling off, and like she's doing a very intense, and it's like sliding. It's like halfway off her eye. Oh my God.
But it's also like there's a hole cut out, and so her head is actually hit, and it's just like, it was not it. I didn't like it.
Okay, this is what I noticed about Raven's fashion, both in like on That's a Raven and in Cheetah Girls, is I felt like people didn't know how to dress a girl who was bigger, so they put so much clothes on her, like way too much. I get that they're trying to be conservative, it's Disney Channel, but I felt like they didn't know how to dress her in a way that's like flattering, so they're like, we gotta cover her up, she's got boobs, like, and I'm like, you know, you don't have to do that.
I feel like in the first movie she wasn't covered up, because I feel like she was the same size as the other girls in the first movie. Yes.
Yeah, she was.
Second movie, because she was going through some of her like thyroid stuff and she had gained weight, which is common weight women, my weight fluctuates all the time. I felt like they were like covering up and putting her in kind of like these blanket like clothes.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
Like frumpy, and I was like, ugh, like it is not flattering for her at all. A lot of empire waist things, and I was like, I don't think that they just didn't know how to dress her. Yeah, I think you're right in that. They didn't know how to dress like a curvier woman.
Yeah, it's like kind of, because there was like scenes where I was like, she's dressing like she's like a 50-year-old woman going to church, and like she's supposed to be 16. Like, it's just not realistic. But, and it's funny because I always thought she was so fashionable, especially in the first movie. Like, she's kind of the leader of them. So you would think like, but yeah, they almost put her in like, it's almost like caftans, like some of the scenes. Like, it's so much fabric. Yeah. So I guess we'll like kind of, okay, we will get back to the plot, wrap it up. Basically, the Cheetah Girls, they find out Gallery's leaving because she feels like she doesn't have a place here. They run after her in their PJs and get her back. Yeah, in the end, they get kind of fucked over because they're like, they can't be in the competition that they came here for because they got paid for an event. That means that they're professionals. But then it gets resolved. Does someone find out? Or they give the money back and then they're back in the competition. Is it that simple?
I can't remember, honestly. I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
I remember it was like a loophole type situation. Yes. And then what's her name? Doesn't Belinda win?
Oh, I think it's okay. And you know, maybe we are recapping this all entirely wrong, but whatever. Who cares? Like, I think Marisol is supposed to be the winner, or she's supposed to be competing, and she decides not to go on stage because she's done with her mom's bullshit. And then the Cheetah Girls perform.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like that, right?
This isn't my dream, mom. Like, every day, like, this is your dream.
Yes.
Annoying speech. And then she ends up not performing. That's right. Yes.
I think it's something like that. And then they sing Amigas, Cheetahs, Friends for Life. What did you think of that whole number? So fun.
Loved it. Like I said, the entire soundtrack.
Yes.
Banger. I don't skip the song. I don't, not even the Why Wait song. I don't even skip
even
that
one. You're like, oh, I'll do it.
I will listen to the entire album whole way through. No complaints. I love that soundtrack. Amigas, Cheetahs, Friends for Life.
The rhythm on each other. Oh my God. That's what keeps that tight. It was cute because it's at first it's the four of them, and then they're like Marisol, they call her up on stage, and then this whole marching band comes in, and every character in the movie is on stage.
That okay, the marching band. I was like, when did they make friends with a marching band? That was also very random.
Yes. It was funny because okay, the guy who played the guitar, who's like Galleria's supposed love interest, like played guitar. Maybe he had the marching band and he's like, let's bring them all in.
Also, Angel looks like a malnourished, like, ghost child.
Let me see. Angel,
and like,
does he, okay, I see what you mean. He is very pale and angular.
He just looks like he'd be haunting the halls of a 19th century castle with a candle, like a candlestick, and being like, where are my parents? You know, that's what he looks like.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. He really doesn't have that much to him. He just kind of is like...
They didn't develop that character at all. I just felt like they were like, people think that Raven's gay. Let's prove that she's straight. And then they put him in there, you know?
Did you know that Raven was gay before she came out? Like, did you have a suspicion when she was young?
No, because I wasn't even thinking about stuff like that as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was crossing my brain. I didn't even realize that I was bisexual until like my early 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like, that's not something that was even crossing my brain at all. It was more just like, you know, when she came out and after I had like, I was like, oh, that actually makes sense. Yeah. I didn't think, and I wasn't even thinking, that wasn't where my brain was at.
Yeah. And it's interesting because she like never had a, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't ever recall her having like a public relationship with a dude or even like some stunt to, you know, where people thought she was just to like promote something.
Never. She was never with anyone, dating anyone. And that's one thing about like all the Disney Channel stars, they were all dating each other, you know? Yeah. So mm-hmm. The fact that like, you know, like Miley dating Nick Jonas and Selena dating this person and whatever, you saw all of that. We never saw that with Raven. So no. I was like, huh.
And she always had like male love. Well, of course, she had male love interests, and that's Raven because it was the mid-2000s. Like, they aren't going to try to test the waters back then. Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean.
It definitely felt worse than Cheetah Girls, too. Absolutely. But I could tell she was kind of burnt out at that time. I feel like she was burnt out from Disney and like being in like a family friendly setting. And mm-hmm. So it like, this is definitely her last movie, you know?
I was shocked that she even came back because they were already touring, the three of them, and like Raven wasn't there. So I was like, they got her in the movie. Like, that was part of why I was so excited for it to come out, because I was like, Raven's back, which was cool. Like, I just don't, well, I don't know. I didn't, not that, do you like them, the three of them, as their like solo Cheetah Girls actual career, what, like, aside from the movie?
I didn't really follow them much outside of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't feel the same without Raven. So I didn't feel, it felt weird that they were touring and having a whole musical career without Raven. And so I never really followed their actual musical career at all. Mm-hmm. I also think that Cheetah Girls was the first time that Disney had experimented with creating musicians, like artists,
mm-hmm.
stemming from the movies.
Yeah.
And I think that was their first, like, they were testing the waters and like, how can we create a group or artist that is making money from the movies? And that is, if you notice, after Cheetah Girls, that's been like, the Camp Rocks came out. That's when the Hannah Montanas came out, where they like, these people can now tour and they're singing and they're dancing and they're performing and trying to make kind of like a machine of an artist or of a product. Like, they, people became a product after the Cheetah Girls, I think, because they saw how successful the Cheetah Girls were touring wise and music wise, movie wise. They created an entire franchise and brand off of them.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, like, they created it. Yeah, it's, I think the Cheetah Girls was their first musical, like, the first one, because it was before High School Musical.
Yeah, musical.
So, which is crazy. I wish they would have done more stuff like Cheetah Girls, but I mean, I don't know. You can't really capture that more than once, I guess twice, but like it's kind of once in a lifetime thing. So I guess we'll like talk about the fashion. What Dakara is very beautiful and has an amazing sense of style. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but what like styles, what outfits, what looks like stood out to you?
God. So honestly, I feel like I really liked Aqua's looks most of the time. I was more drawn to hers. I felt like they kind of gave her a lot of like blue tones and like bell sleevey type things and stuff like that, at least for like when she's traveling around Barcelona for like the fashion stuff. But nothing really stuck out to me fashion wise in this movie. I felt like it was very typical Disney layering on top of layering to like couple of, be very modest, and so nothing really stood out to me. I hated the one pant short look.
Not a fan. And that outfit, that is not it. She's wearing like the Monopoly Man like tailcoat and a pink like magician top hat, and it's something else. She has an interesting style, very like European, but like no, that outfit is something else. And I've never seen anyone since, I don't think, like wear the shorts and pants in one outfit.
It wasn't it for me.
No, I get that. It is, I mean, it's corny. Like this movie has like a lot, like so many patterns, so many huge jewelry, like huge necklaces, like a ton of layered stuff, like berets. Like it's very peak of 2000s, like kitsch, as many colors and patterns.
Yeah.
What do you think of like fashion from that time? Like, do you look back and cringe, or are you like it?
Whenever I think of fashion at that time, I think of like gaucho pants.
Yes. Oh my God. People don't talk about gaucho pants enough.
I'm like, wow, that was really ugly. Like, that was a thing we did. I'm not proud of the fashion that came out of that time. And when I look back at the fashion in that movie, I'm like, yeah, it's reflective of a point in time where the fashion was kind of ugly. It was very, like, they did a lot of layering and, like, jewelry, statement jewelry and just stuff that I'm like, eh, it's just, like, not a fan of. So nothing really, like I said, nothing really stuck out to me outside of maybe one of Aqua's looks when they were showing, like, a montage of her.
Yeah, I think it's fun, but it is very of that time. And I agree, too many layers. Like, I get, like, they're supposed to be covered up because that's, I don't know, they're concerned about that, but it was a lot. So yeah, that was the movie. That was a fashion. Out of 5 stars, what would you give this movie?
Oh.
On a just regular movie quality scale and on a nostalgia childhood fave scale.
Oh, okay. So on a nostalgic scale, I definitely would give it, I loved the movie at the time. I watched it multiple times. So I'd give it a 5. Going back to it as an adult, it's hard for me to even rate it badly. It's because it's like, I am so connected to it, and it's such a movie, and it's just so dumb. And like, even some of the scenes, I'm like, whatever. It's definitely on the 2 scale, but like, it's just hard for me to even commit to that because I'm just so attached to it.
Yes.
So I do really love the movie, even though it's super cheesy, and I don't care. Like, I don't care that it's cheesy. I don't care. It's kind of like cringe at some times or whatever. It doesn't hold up as a movie nowadays, but like plot wise or anything. But the music is just so good.
Yes. Yeah. It is kind of funny. I feel like they wrote the music and that was good. And they're like, okay, everything else needs to kind of revolve around that. And we want to do it in Barcelona. So yeah.
Like, there you go. There you go.
Yes. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too. So I had fun with it. I still have fun with the movie. So yeah, it's hard to rate that. But I nostalgia points, definitely like a 5 out of 5.
Same here. One of my favorites. I don't care if it's not good. Okay, I guess we're kind of wrapping up. Is there anyone you want listeners to follow you?
Oh, I mean, I don't really post. I don't really post very often. I'm like a sparse poster when it comes to Instagram and stuff like that and TikTok and things. But I would like to promote, I guess, like Tiki Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm Miss Tiki Oasis 2022.
Hell yeah.
And I represent an event that celebrates different cultures, Polynesian culture, Asian culture, Caribbean culture. And at the time when tiki was created, it was like during like the 1950s, 60s, kind of in a way to relive the glory days of that time and like recreating the countries that they visited during the war. And I represent kind of honoring the cultures that contributed to tiki, because it has become a very appropriated culture. And that's something that's really important to me, is to bring back the voices of Polynesian people, Caribbean people, the people that contributed to the things that we love about tropical drinks and tiki drinks and like the Mai Tai or the daiquiri or any of those things. And it's just, Tiki Oasis happens every year in San Diego at the Town and Country Resort. It's free to people after, I think, 3 p.m. It's not, you don't have to get a ticket. So you come, it's a huge market where you can find all these amazing like sculptures and vintage clothing. If you're a vintage collector, I love vintage clothing personally. And it's like a thrifter's dream when it comes to clothing, furniture, paint, art, whatever. But also it's become like a space with native people from like Hawaii or the Caribbean islands, like Jamaica or even like Puerto Rico or any of those things. Like all these vendors from all over are offering their art and their talent and their gifts, and they're selling them. And it's like a really a cool opportunity to like not only just party and dance and get drunk, and it's like hotel parties and pool parties and stuff, but you're also celebrating culture and just what makes everything fun. And I would love to promote that. I think that's really cool. It's just such a fun time, and everyone is dressed to the nines in different vintage clothing. But you don't have to dress vintage if you don't have anything. Just put a flower in your hair and you will be welcomed with a Mai Tai and open arms. And then I'm a part of two groups where we celebrate different cultures. So the first, I'm part of Melanated Tiki, which is a gathering for all people who have melanin in them and their allies, because my partner is a white man. Yeah. And so he also comes, and that's fine. And like same with some of the people in Melanated Tiki group, they like, it's for all people who support and want to uplift melanated voices. And then the other group I'm part of is the Lavender Luau, which is an LGBTQ plus group. We celebrate the LGBTQ plus community. And all that to say, come to Tiki Oasis San Diego Town and Country. Tickets open up very soon. It's in August, first of August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So please come. If you can't go through the whole weekend, come for free at Melanated Tiki. I will be hosting an event with
your host.
Yeah, I host Melanated Tiki with our current Miss Tiki Oasis. So yeah, if you can't afford a ticket, then come down to Melanated Tiki, our meetup. It's free drinks, and we talk about culture, and we just talk about life, and we have fun, and come on down, because that would be free.
I will be there. That sounds like so much fun. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is there any positive notes, which I feel like that was a very positive note, anything else you want the world to know on this beautiful January Tuesday? Anything you want to send out to the people listening?
Not the world.
Yeah.
Well, something that I've been trying, that I feel like this year has been thrust upon me, is this idea of letting go of people, energy, habits, patterns that no longer serve you, and fully committing to your authenticity and committing to what makes you innately joyful, what sparks joy in you, and becoming more authentic to myself. Because I think as I grow older, searching for what my authentic self is something that I've spent many years on so far. So I'd like to continue that.
It's easy to lose that as an adult. So yeah. Yes.
As we pay bills and pay taxes.
As we're trying to make money, I feel my soul slipping away.
Yeah, so I hope that we can all kind of embrace that to some degree.
Yeah, beautiful. I love it. Thanks for listening, everyone. And join us next time when we watch
a Disney Channel movie.
No matter when, we